Welcome to the Hallelujah House, a home for Christian creatives. It's in the living room where you can get comfortable and listen in as childhood friends Liz Hammond and Tammy Carter Adams discuss the latest faith-based podcast. So grab a cup of coffee, get comfortable, kick off your shoes, and get ready to join in on the conversation.
Did you know that you're created to create? You are a child of God, and God created you in His image. So therefore, naturally, you came from a creative God. You're going to have creativity. By default, you're going to have creativity. Many of my friends have told me, I'm not creative like you are, Tammy. And that's just not true. And I don't want to hear that anymore from any of my friends. So if you're listening, don't tell me you're not creative, because I am going to debunk that today. So welcome to the Hallelujah House. This is Tammy Carter Adams. Come on into the living room and let's get comfortable and let's settle in and talk about creativity. And I'm going to share with you today the story of how I started painting, which is very different from my writing journey I shared last week when I started writing as a child and my father, you know, pushed me to write. I'm going to talk about how God gave me the gift of painting supernaturally. So let's start with praying to the Father, and let's surrender all this teaching to Him, and then we'll get started in the Word. Father God, we thank You so much for all those that are listening, and we thank You for this Word You've given me today, and I just and the stories that You give me to tell, Lord. I'm thankful for all the bad things You brought me through and all the good things You brought me through, Lord, so that it can be utilized for Your glory. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about something else that you've brought me through, and that a blessing that You've given me, and I want to share it and inspire others to ask for gifts, Lord, and not to be embarrassed or feel unworthy to come to Your throne and ask for those gifts, Lord. You're a good Father, a Father of good gifts. We love You, and this teaching is for You and You alone, in Your name. Amen. Okay. So let's start in Genesis, and we're going to start with a very, very familiar passage. And I know you've heard it over and over and over again, but you know what? We have to start in the Word, and this is where the truth lies. So we're going to start in Genesis 1:26, and this is where God is creating man. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. So how many times do they say create, create, create in this passage? God is the ultimate creator. If you go outside, there is no way that we'll be able to ever paint a sunset like the Lord gives. Okay? You're never going to be able to paint all the beauty that is in nature. But He is our inspiration, right? As artists, we can always go outside and find some inspiration through His creation. That is number one place for me to find is the number one places are in His Word and in creation. And together, they're like a double whammy. For creativity to just pour into your creative mind. So if you're lacking inspiration, get outside, walk around, spend time in the Word, and get outside and pray, and He will give you some inspiration through His creation. So therefore, since you're created in the image of God, I want to talk about who is us. He said, "Let us therefore create man in our image." And we're going to go to John 1:1. I just recently sat on Bella's bed one night, and her and I went through this, and I wanted to point out that Jesus was there at creation, and the Holy Spirit and God, all three of them were there, because God said, "Let us create man in our image," and I'm going to prove that to you in John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And that, and the life here in him was life. That is, we talked about the Greek words for life. And remember, there was there in a previous podcast, we talked about there's the life that's eternal life. And that is the life that's presented here as well. So I read this to Bella and I said, who's the word? And she immediately said, Jesus. I'm so thankful she goes to a Christian school, because I'm telling you, I do know that she receives a lot of biblical teaching at her Christian school, and it's such a blessing that she's able to go there. Because I'm like, how did she know this? Because, I can't recall what, and also she gets it in her Sunday school classes. So all you Sunday school teachers and teachers of the word in the Christian schools, I'm thankful as a mom for you, because I wanted to plug that in there, because, you know, as parents, you know, we're their ultimate teachers, but I know that she gets a lot from outside the home, and I'm thankful for those that all speak into her life, okay? So anyway, let me talk about creativity, and I'm gonna tell you right now how I became a painter. Last week we talked about me and my husband and I chasing the music industry, and how we lost all of our income to the point I was rolling quarters to put gas in his car for his new job. And let me tell you, he was driving an old car at this time. Jay was, that the windows would not roll down, the air condition did not work. And I remember he came home one day, and he had decided his seats were torn in this car. And so I'm just telling this whole funny story. This has nothing to do with our lesson today, but this will just show you we went through some humbling time where God had to bring us to a place of humility. And so Jay comes in the door, and his black suit is covered with fur. And he had decided to go out and buy fur covers for his torn leather seats and his old Acura, right? So this car he'd had for years, and he had let some people borrow it, and then it came back, and then he had to get it back because we needed that car for transportation. So he got it back, and so he covered, and by that point, the seats were torn. It was just a mess. The windows wouldn't roll down. The AC wouldn't work. And we live in Florida, so, you know, imagine how hot it is. So he said he drove his new boss, one of his new bosses, to a hearing at the courthouse, and that he had to go through the toll, and he had to pitch his coin. This was before they had the little automated things, and he had to pitch his quarter through the sunroof, and it took a second try to get it in there for him to be able to go through to get to downtown. And as they're driving, his boss is like spitting fur out of his lips because the fur from his seat covers that he decided were so cool were blowing all through the car. And by the time they got there, they looked like they had 20 cats that had sat all over their suit. So, it was definitely a humbling period. But thank the Lord that he had us go through that time of humility, because he was preparing us for another season that he was going to bring us into, right? And that humbling season, kind of, he used that to transform us, to make us thirsty for his word. And so I started, that's when I told you, I started going to a women's Bible study, and I was a lone parent, basically, while he was traveling. He was exhausted. We were both exhausted through that season, but we were both praying into it, and God held us up financially, and he gave us everything we needed, but not much in surplus. And that was okay. That was okay. And so, because what he was, I'm telling you, I can't describe how our marriage got so much stronger then. It was like I felt so much love for him, and he started to respect me a little more during that period. And I think, you know, when we first got married, we didn't know how to be married, you know, and we were, in my 1 year anniversary, I was producing a child the day of our 1 year anniversary. So we jumped into parenting right away and had another one back to back. And so it was like our life was just hectic and chaotic for a while. And I felt like, you know, I was mad with him because we were set in our ways because we didn't get married until we were 29 years old. So we had to learn, God had to humble both of us to teach us to love one another from his space. Okay. So I'm going to move forward in telling you how I became a painter. So during this, so after several years of this, and we were on the upswing, I had my third son, and I just really longed, you know, I had a job that was somewhat creative before I got married, and I was really missing the creativity. And I was, I started making jewelry and selling it to the stores downtown, because that was before beads were being sold everywhere, like Michael's and all these other places. So I was making beaded jewelry for stores downtown and taking it in boxes, sometimes with babies in tow, to help my husband out finding, you know, to have that extra money. And but, you know, then beads started being available and everybody started doing it. It became something a lot of people figured out how to do. So my jewelry was not needed anymore, right? So I was praying into that, and I God knows that I have to have something creative to do. And so I remember going to my father and up to my in-law's house for dinner, and I always loved wandering upstairs and looking at his studio, because my father-in-law was a painter. Now, backstory here, not only was my father-in-law a painter, but my daddy and my brother both were artists when I was growing up. So my brother actually was like 13 years old, 12 or 13, and he was winning all these art competitions, beating his own teachers. So it came like where his teacher couldn't teach him anymore. And he was in the newspaper. And so I was, you know, brought around art. I've been around art all my life. My father would take me into museums and he would point out depth and light and, you know, things like this to me. But I could not really make sense of it. I didn't have that painter's, you know, he was putting the knowledge into me, but I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't have technique. I thought painting honestly was for men. Honestly, because my mother put piano in me and writing. I had the piano and the writing. So that was my mom was music. My father was an artist and a writer, and that they were gifted creatively. We had a very creative household. But I honestly thought that I just didn't have the painting ability. So I could not draw a stick figure. My earlier drawings all through school, if you go through the box of where all my stuff is, you know what that I drew, it was always stick figures of little girls, little heads with stick figures with these big enormous mount of hair. I thought hair was true beauty. I mean, it was like this hair. My teacher would say, "You just love hair," you know, because I didn't have it. I didn't have hair like all the other girls did. So I had like this little bob that never would grow, and still do today. And the only time I've had hair is when I was pregnant. So that's probably why I got pregnant quite a bit, because I loved having hair. But anyway, rambling here. So I go to my in-laws. So fast forward, now we're at when my boys were young. I walked into the studio of my father-in-law, and I'm looking at all his paintings, and he tended to paint. He loved Western art and he loved religious art. And so I remember just looking at all the Bible scenes he was painting on all these canvases, and he painted with oils. And I asked him, I said, "When did you know you were an artist?" And he just turned to me and said, "Well, daughter, I knew I was an artist when I prayed and asked God to make me an artist." And I went, "What? Wait." So you just asked God to make you a painter, and then you just became a painter. And he's like, well, it happened like this. He said he had a young a friend who died, one of his best friends, who was very talented painter. And at his funeral, and he died like, and he was in his mid-30s. And so he said, I went over to his casket and I knelt by his casket. And my father-in-law was an actor on Broadway. So he was a, you know, one of those old actors that, black actors. He was actually roommates with James Earl Jones, and they shared an apartment together. And he was in class with Marilyn Monroe. He took acting classes with Marilyn Monroe and some of those during that period of acting. So he got out of that. God called him out of that. And he became, he felt God calling him out of that because the industry he felt was too sinful. And so he was seeing things he didn't like. So, and God was tugging on his heart, and he came into ministry and used his stage presence as a pastor, okay? And not as a paid pastor, but as an elder in his church. And he actually opened a church, and he started jail ministry in New York. He was one of the first to go into the jails and share the gospel message with those in prison. So he prayed at this casket that God would give him this man's gift. He said, Lord, please don't let his gift die with him. Give it to me. And so I said, so? And he kind of left me hanging there. And I said, so you instantly came a painter? I said, well, then how did you know you'd be able to do it? And he said, I didn't. I went out. I bought my brushes. I bought my canvas and my easel and my paints. That's called faith. Okay. So he stepped forward, he prayed a prayer, he asked God for this gift. He was abiding in the Lord. He was spending time with the Father. He had gotten to know the Father, that our Heavenly Father is a Father of good gifts, right? And then he went out and he purchased, as an act of faith, he purchased his paints and his brushes. So I go home. And God would not let me stop thinking about that. I kept thinking about that. And I had tried to paint. I mean, I took like a little oil class and painted an apple, and it wasn't any good. I mean, it was like, I'd tried and none of my stuff looked good. So I thought I'd try again. So that night, one night, I got on my knees and I asked the Father, I said, God, I would really love to learn how to paint. I really need something that, you know, that can be, you know, something that's my own as a mother of three boys, and I'm running around and, you know, taking care of these kids. I'd need something in my time that I can, you know, create with my hands. I had this strong desire to create. And so I prayed that prayer. The next day I go out and I bought my brushes, I bought my canvas, I got some acrylic paints because I decided I didn't like oils in that oil class, and my dad and my brother were acrylic painters, and so they were kind of encouraging me to go in that direction. So I go out and I buy them. And I'm standing in front of this empty canvas, and I think my kids were at this point where I had one in kindergarten, I had a baby, I think. I think Colin was a baby at this point. He was napping, and I'm standing in front of this empty canvas, and I'm praying to the Lord, God, what should I paint? What do you want me to paint now? I don't know what to do. And I'm standing there, and I'm kind of like, I made a big mistake. I shouldn't have spent this money, you know. And then instantly in my head, we were babysitting. I say babysitting. It was a dog I was taking care of. So that I could have a big dog for my boys to play with in the pool at times. And I was willing to take care of this dog. I love this big dog. And that way I didn't have to get them a dog. We had a little dog, but they didn't have a big dog. And they love this big dog. And he would come and stay with us on weekends while his owner was kind of a motorcycle guy. He was well-to-do, and he would go off and on his motorcycle with a bunch of guys. And so I would take care of his dog for him. And it was a friend of my husband's, okay? And I don't want you to think he wasn't my friend, but we weren't, you know, it was more his friend, okay? So I would take care of this dog, and in my spirit, I felt God say, paint Max, that was the dog's name. And I was going, are you kidding me? I can't even paint an apple. I can't paint Max. And so and I felt God saying, you're going to give this to this man. I'm going to keep the man's name private. You're going to give it to him at Christmas as a gift. And I couldn't, I was thinking, how in the world am I going to do this? And so in my spirit, it was almost as if God really downloaded, pull up the picture, you know, I'm going to guide and direct you. You're going to paint this portrait of this dog, and you're going to gift it to this man. And so sure enough, I started and I thought, all right, well, all I can do is mess up and not have to give it to him, right? So, and I, when I started painting, it was as if I could feel God telling me in my brain, step back and look at it. Step back and look at it. And I'd step back and look at it. And it was almost as if I could see the image on the canvas before it was even there. I wish I could put it in words. I can't put it in words, but those of you who are artists know what I'm talking about. He gives you the eyes to see. And I remember I was struggling with the color black, and I remember stepping back and feeling God say impressing on me in my mind, black reflects what color? Think about it logically. I mean, it was almost as if he was pulling the information out of me, you know, like to think about things, not to think about the whole picture, but it was like, what shape do you see there? Well, what color is that? And which brush do you think you should use here? And how does black reflect? And I felt, and I turned around and looked around the room and saw something that, you know, light was shining on that was black, and I could see the blue in it. And so I started to put the blue in it and the white in it. And suddenly I couldn't believe my eyes, but this image started to come on this canvas, and it was of this man's dog. Now, I'm going to be honest today. I look at that dog and I say, oh man, I could do a lot better now. But for the first real painting I'd ever done, that to me was a miracle. And so we had it framed, and we gave it to this man at Christmas time. And he was so touched by this painting. To this day, that painting sits on above his fireplace. That was his favorite dog, and that dog lived for a very long time. The dog would go through a severe depression when he left our house, and it always bothered him that his dog would, you know, want to be with us, you know, because he had kids to play with and everything else. And then soon enough, I got my own big dog, Bear. So Bear didn't like other dogs, so I could no longer babysit for him. So we missed that dog, but we had our own. So years go by, and I want to share with you how God used that painting in this man's life, because there was a reason why God told me to paint that painting. More recent, you know, I've lost touch years with this man, and more recent, he ended up having I guess a stroke, and he ended up being paralyzed from waist down. And I was at school one day, and Jay was talking him off the ledge, I guess, you know, of you know, your life is gonna still, you there is meaning to life, and you know, that kind of a thing. And we really, you know, felt for him and kind of showed up and tried to help him out and everything during this difficult season. And Jay hands the phone to me. Or maybe I said, let me speak to him. Because God had impressed on me in that moment. He is in a desperate place. You are going to bring up the painting. And so I said, hey, listen. And he's crying. And I'm like, I told him, you know, God has a purpose for you. And that's why you've survived this. And don't think because you've lost your the use of your legs does not mean your life is still not going to have purpose. And so anyway, he's crying, he's sobbing on the phone, and I'm telling him, you know, you have to surrender this to the Lord, and he's going to lift you up, but you have to surrender it. And he's like, I don't know why this happened to me, blah, 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 blah. And I said, have you ever thought about why my first painting I gave to you? And he said, he stopped for a moment and he thought and he said, you know, I have thought about that. And I said, do you know that, and I told him about me praying for the gift of painting. And when I sat at my canvas, God put you on my heart. And I said, he loves you. He loves you. And I want to say something today that this man has recently requested to be taught how to abide. And so my husband now is going to be walking him through abiding and learning how to dive into God's word. And if you want to learn this and you want to learn how to read, how to understand the scriptures and need someone to disciple you, email me. And I will make sure that I will find somebody if I'm not your person to do that. Okay. I will find somebody that you feel comfortable with, but we should all learn how to glean truth from scripture and how to hear God's voice and discern what he's saying to you in the word. But this man wants to learn this now. And it's taken years, okay? So God is utilized my painting in this man to speak to this man in a desperate time. So when you pray for a gift, don't expect. At the time I prayed for it, it's not that I prayed selfishly for it, but God knew my heart. He knew that I was in a humbled state at this point in my life, that I was thinking I just wanted to learn something new. And you might have that in your heart. You want to learn something new, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong to ask God to help you learn something new creatively. So I encourage you to do that. But God also knows your heart. If you've got your end result is for fame and money and all that, you know, and that's where your heart is, you know, yearning for, is that if that's what your heart's yearning for, I don't know that you will get the gift. But because I was coming at him from I'd been humbled. If I would have asked him for that gift when we were chasing music industry, I wouldn't have gotten it. I don't believe it. So I had to go through that humbled experience. I can't close after that story without sharing some scripture that kind of back up and kind of prove that God does give good gifts to his children. Okay, so let's go to Luke 11:9. And Luke 11:9 says, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So here it's talking about the Holy Spirit, that we're going to get the Holy Spirit. But with the Holy Spirit, you get the voice of God. Okay, God's going to speak to you just as he speaks to me. He spoke to me at that canvas. So with the Holy Spirit come other gifts. So once you receive the Holy Spirit, you're a child of God, and you can go to him and pray and ask him for a gift. And if your heart is right and he and God knows that you're not going to use it for, you know, what we discussed before, for a pursuit of fame or glory for yourself, then I firmly believe that God will give that gift to you, okay? But don't be surprised if he requires you to use it for his glory, to bring others to him, okay? We need more Christian artists. The art, if you haven't noticed, art has become very dark out there. And that's something that God, you know, has been putting on my heart about art ministry, about creating an art ministry in our church. And we will be, and that's one of the announcements I wanted to make today, that we are going to be opening an art ministry in the fall at Family Church in Windermere. So if you're in the Orlando area and you're interested in coming and becoming a part of art ministry, you don't have to be a painter. You can come in and we can all play with watercolors, and or if you want to learn acrylics. We are now searching for those teachers and those leaders that are going to come along and join the team and be part of this art ministry. So stay tuned, and I'll let you know more about that in the future. But God has really put it on my heart to grow arts, because it is something I'm passionate about, of course. I'm passionate about writing and painting, and another of my passions is interior design. And home, I love the decorative part of homemaking. I'm not a cook, so I've been looking for somebody to come into the Hallelujah House kitchen and help us out with that. So if you're interested, let me know on our website. But anyway, God is going to give you that gift. He's going to give you the gift. But you will probably at some point after receiving that gift be required to use it for his glory if you're a child of his. And you should be willing to, because you are his child and you're in communion with them. Okay, and another thing I want to point out is in James. Somebody recently asked me what my favorite book was. And man, I was stumped because depending on what season of life I'm in, my favorite books switch. And right now I will say in this season of my life, my favorite book is James. Because James talks about, you know, he talks about faith without works and is dead. And it's a grace book, but it's also yes, you're saved by grace, but, you know, we need to be in fellowship with the Lord, and we need to utilize our gifts and talents for God's glory, right? So he talks about a gift. And I want to read James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures or creation. Okay, now in 17, I want to point out this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Painting is a good gift. Writing is a good gift. But who is my perfect gift? My perfect gift is grace. It's the grace of Jesus that Jesus gave to me when he died on the cross and surrendered himself and gave his life to cover me from my sins. Okay, he became my savior. That is my perfect gift. And then through him, there are other good gifts that I receive, talents and discernment and wisdom, and all of these other things are the good gifts that come through your relationship with Jesus, okay? And they come down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And he's saying here that God the Father is never changing. He's always been a giving Father. And of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. And who is the word of truth? Jesus. Jesus spoke the world into creation. He is the word, okay? That we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. We are the first fruits of his creatures, okay? We are priority. We are ones created to have a relationship with the Father. And part of, I will say this, what has painting done for me? Painting, I'll tell you what painting has done for me. That is where God has trained my ear to hear him. He has trained my mind to perceive his voice. That is one of the places God has utilized in my life to understand when he's telling me something. And I've carried away from, it's not only that, but in God's word, primarily in God's word. But outside of God's word, the canvas and the laptop, when I'm writing, when I'm working in conjunction with him on something, when I'm in communion with him, and that is how he has helped me have a discerning ear. Is when I'm working with him on any of my creative projects. God wants to partner with you. He wants to partner with you. And I just hope and pray that if you've got a yearning for something, think about the things that you used to love to do as a child, but you've set them on the shelf. Maybe one of those things is something that God has put that yearning in your heart to learn how to do. Pray about it. Ask God to help you. He may make you develop the craft. I'm not saying he's going to give all these gifts supernaturally, but if he wants you to take the paintbrushes out and paint those stick figures and grow, he's gonna give you the knowledge. He's going to help you, and he's going to work with you so that you can develop that craft or that skill, because we still have to develop it. I'm still developing my painting, okay? I'm still learning new techniques all the time, and I'm still developing my craft of writing. But it's like he gave me that he speaks to me at that canvas, and he speaks to me at the laptop, and he makes me relook at things. He'll say, you know, he'll impress on my heart that sentence is not right, you know, or that shadow is not right. Check out your shape of the shadow. When I step back from the canvas and I look, he's continually telling me, step back, step back. Okay. So I want you to have that too. So we're going to close in prayer. I hope this word sticks with you today. And I hope that if you are having a yearning to learn, you know what? Nope. Before we pray, I want to read one more scripture because I had it written down here and I totally forgot because I think this kind of sums it up a little bit. So let's go to James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Okay? So, and the next one, let's read the next one because it kind of goes into what I was talking about. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flowers falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. So basically God is saying that, you know, it requires humility and it requires you asking with faith that he is going to give it to you, and don't be wavering. Just like go buy those paintbrushes, right? Sit at that computer. Write that sentence by sentence, okay? String your words together. God is gonna partner with you. Pray before you. I pray when I'm at the canvas. I have messed up so many canvases, and then once I pray and say, God, I forgot to pray and ask for your guidance on this one, then all of a sudden, you know, I can see it and God helps me with it. Okay. And it comes together. All right, let's close it. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I thank you for this word. I pray that, I'm sorry it was so jumbled. I pray though that it goes forward and that that it's not a distraction, because I am a talker, not a speaker. But I pray, Lord, that you'll utilize it in hearts and bless those that heard it today. And if they do have that desire in their heart to learn something creative, that you will just take this word and help them go make that step forward in faith and pray and ask God, ask you for the gift, Lord. In your name, Jesus, we love you. In your precious holy name, amen. All right, that's all I got for you today. I will see you next time. Hopefully I won't be so jumbled. Actually, I just did a podcast a few days ago, so I should have been really smooth on this one, but because I had to do them back to back, it's like, you know, this was kind of more rushed than I would have liked, but God gave me the word and he was faithful, and you have it now. So thank you for joining me. I'll see you next time.